Hey guys, it's Taylor Gray, Ezra Bridger from Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to the Carbonite Crew Podcast. May the Force be with you, always. Spectre 6, out.
Hey kid, I'm putting together a crew.
Hey guys, and welcome back to the Carbonite Crew Podcast. Jonathan and I are returning home. Just got back a few days ago from Star Wars Celebration Chicago. It was a blast. Oh, it was
amazing. My God. I'm surprised you really didn't go on for just a quick podcast note. We do have a new title for our podcast. We got a hot tip while we were at Celebration, and rebranded ourselves a little bit, make it easier for you guys to find us if you're searching on any podcast sites. So we are now Carbonite Crew, a Star Wars podcast.
Yes, we should still pop up if you just type in Carbonite Crew. Pop up as one of the first one.
But now we will also pop up if you search Star Wars podcast. So
yeah, it will be easier to find. So. That's
and in case
awesome.
You're listening, thank you, Dan, from Coffee with Kenobi, for that tip. That was great.
Yes, wonderful, wonderful tip. Thank you so much. We have a lot to talk about, a lot to go over.
This is probably going to be a couple episodes, or at least a very long one.
So we might make it sit there for 3 hours. We might just have a break in between.
We're going to be up and down and up and down, you know. So, yeah, we just got back on, Monday night?
Yeah, late Monday night.
And we are recording this on Wednesday.
Yes, so a few days to kind of recoup, gather our thoughts.
Get back to the real world, unfortunately.
Hold off from unpacking.
Yep.
All kinds of stuff, so.
So, okay, so quick take. How was Celebration for you, if you had to just put it in a couple sentences?
If you love Star Wars, you're going to love Celebration.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Agreed.
I've not done a lot of conventions. But
me either. I think we have the same amount of conventions under our belt, actually. So, but it was amazing. There were people everywhere. Just things to see every single day. We were there all 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was so cool. My girlfriend brought this up, but she said one of her favorite things was just the fact that it didn't matter. Like, you go to some of the smaller cons or multi-fandom cons and stuff, and it's like, you know, you can talk to people. But here, you literally can just turn to the person next to you and start up a conversation about Star Wars, because you know that they love Star Wars, and that's why they're there.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. Just be like, hey, what'd you think of that trailer?
Yeah.
Boom. You got a 20-minute conversation right there in line.
Yep.
No worries. And you can have a half-hour conversation before you ever know the person's name.
Yep.
There's conversations I had, I never got their name.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was so fun, like, not having gone to a lot of conventions before this, I think it's going to be kind of hard to go to other conventions.
I wondered about that, because I was even comparing it when we did PopCon here in town to that, and just how night and day different it was, you know?
Oh, yeah, and like the other conventions, like San Diego and New York and all that, I'm sure those are so fun, and I do plan on going to those, definitely. But it's going to be kind of weird not walking around and seeing all Star Wars.
Right. I mean, until next year in Anaheim, of course.
Yes, which we will touch on that here in a little bit, or in another episode, depending on how we cut this up. So, yeah. But yeah, how was Celebration for you?
It was amazing. I think I was one of the few people in our group that didn't get sick, so that I had that going for me. But it was, I can't think of, I mean, aside from my anxiety that we might miss the 9 panel, which, again, sorry about that, but aside from that, I can't think of a single thing that I really didn't like, aside from maybe not getting into the Funko lottery, but, you know, that.
Right. Yeah, it's, I look back and there's nothing I can complain about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess my only complaint is maybe there was times when security was just non-existent.
Which is a little scary,
be honest. For a 30,000 people a day con.
I heard that those numbers were higher than that.
Really?
Let me look that up real quick, but I heard it was more like 70.
A day?
A day.
whoa. If that is true, then whoa. I don't know how Anaheim's going to do that, because I heard that this was the biggest convention center they've done yet. So, I don't know, but... Wow, that's a lot of people.
I know, and there were a lot of people.
There were, because you could definitely feel like... Thursday, it said it was sold out, but being there Thursday versus, like, Saturday, completely different. So many more people. And maybe the sold out for Thursday was significantly less. Maybe they sold less tickets. I don't know. I don't know all the ins and outs. Monday was nice. You can actually walk around and kind of move and stuff. I guess that's my only complaint, if I really,
Monday
really have
Thursday.
One.
Yeah.
Was there's just so many people. But, I mean, can't even complain about that because it's Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was super nice, too.
I didn't really have a bad experience with anyone. I mean, I heard a couple people complaining about the lottery system and things like that, but, like, I had a couple people see when I was at the Tattoo Pavilion, but other than that, I mean, those maybe three instances of people just being kind of shitty, everyone was great.
Oh, yeah, I guess the only person I can think of that I saw was, that guy that, you were about to get your tattoo.
Yeah.
He was mad, which, I don't know, that was just a really unprofessional way to handle himself.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I did get a Star Wars tattoo while I was there.
Yes,
as much as I ragged on Tyler for talking about it in our pre-celebration episode, I actually am a hypocrite, and I went and did it myself.
Yeah, I did not see it coming. So
it was good, though.
You'll have to post a picture of that later to our Instagram. It's super, super cool.
Yeah, I'm in love with it.
Once it gets all healed up and whatnot.
Yeah.
The colors are cool. It's got nice watercolors.
Yeah, it looks incredible.
So
did Tyler, you're the collector kind of the podcast. Did you get everything you were looking for?
Well,
as far as merchandise, things that you wanted to pick up, things you wanted to see.
Yeah, so I had things on my radar that I definitely had my eye on. I know, like, Thursday was a pretty good recon day for me. I was going around kind of writing in my notes, like, what I eyed. I was writing the prices down, maybe if I really liked something, which came out to be a very bad idea for some items.
Which is really funny, because Thursday was my shopping day.
Oh, yeah.
So I was going around buying everything, and Tyler was just writing down prices and scoping things.
I was, and then there was two shirts I liked that, unfortunately, I wasn't able to get. And
Which ones were those?
Her Universe released. They had a whole celebration one. It was a Ahsoka Tano shirt with, like, the Ahsoka headdress kind of, like, design on the sleeves, and one was a FYE exclusive. It was the Mos Eisley Cantina, and it glow in the dark.
Oh, yeah, that one, because we saw that on Thursday. That's right.
Yeah, and I actually think I was only, like, a few hours late on that one.
Really?
Because I think I looked at it early Monday, and, like, they had one. Or maybe it was Sunday, one of those 2 days, and they had one, and I went back a few hours later, and all they had left was, like, extra larges. I was like,
yeah,
damn. Which is okay.
Well, and that's how the celebration store was for me by the time we got into it on Monday, you know.
Yeah, which...
picked over and empty.
Which the celebration store was huge.
It was much bigger than I expected.
Yeah, we probably could have... probably should have gone, like, Friday night or something instead, but...
Realistically, yeah, but there was a lot going on in the beginning of the week.
And lines were long, which, looking back, I don't think they would have been as long as they seemed. Glad we didn't go Thursday. Apparently, the system kept crashing.
They were talking to me about that when I was checking out on Monday, actually.
I guess it was, like, random items, too.
Yep.
Then it would shut down for, like, 2 hours. So, glad we avoided it that day.
You know what? Actually, I'm going to put that as my number one complaint about this celebration. All of the electronic stuff in the app was absolute trash for the first half of the week.
You're right. You're completely right. Like, they had a virtual, like, queuing line. That it worked,
and the way
us.
It was supposed to work is you could pick one panel or one activity, including the show store, each day and get priority queuing for it. But that wasn't active for me until, like, Saturday night.
Yep, same here.
So it was like, what was even the point of it at that point?
Well, and another thing, you know, like, once it started working, you could pick show store and then, like, Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then pick your time. Well, like, I think it was Monday morning or something, because I know they had a bunch of Monday times. So Monday morning,
we went on Monday.
Yeah, so, and you picked your time, I think, that Sunday, correct?
Yes.
well, that, I saw a bunch of times left. Well, go Monday morning, I get on the app, and, like, I can click virtual line, and it says to select date, but it doesn't have Monday's date. Like, you couldn't pick anything for that current day. And I'm, it's like,
that's really terrible.
I'm like, why? Like, it's only, like, 10 a.m. I know there's probably slots for 2 and 3 and 4.
There were, because there were still slots active for, it was, like, 11:30 when I had mine.
Yeah, and it's... I know Ashley and I got in line when you were getting your tattoo, and we were in like less than 10 minutes one day. So mm-hmm. Hopefully they can fix all that stuff before the next convention, assuming it's still Reed Pop. I know rumors
assuming.
Are flying.
We don't know. So we don't know.
We can get into that when we talk about where it's going to be next and when. So,
because
we do have all that info.
But you got pretty much everything else you wanted then, aside from the shirts. I know there were a few things you... You missed one big thing, didn't you?
Well, see, I dabble in collecting pop figures, right? So they released the blue Funko Chrome celebration pieces, which were only available there. The shared ones were gold. The ones at Celebration were blue. And I said, I don't want to say lame, but a little. I feel like more work could have gone into them. Maybe
they were a little underwhelming.
They were. I wish we would have gotten some characters we hadn't seen yet. Maybe some episode one exclusives that we hadn't got, which we did with like Watto and stuff. But maybe like, you know, give me more rather than a whole set of like blue Chrome.
Sure.
So I said, you know, I'll buy one or two, you know, like the Stormtrooper and the Vader variants because those are cool. I come home with all but one. So, yeah. That went like that. I just ordered my last blue one that I didn't get. So hopefully that's coming in the next week or so. But other than that, I got them all. And I got to say, they're way cooler in person than they were in pictures and on the site. Like, just holding one and looking at it, the blue Chrome comes across really, really nice.
Yeah, I really like them. I think you picked up a couple for me.
Yeah.
And they're amazing.
Yeah, super, super cool. So... I'll have to display those somewhere, but they might look cool in, like, an LED light or something.
Oh, yeah, I like that idea, actually. That would be cool.
Be super. Get, like, a blue LED. I don't know, I'll have to play with that. That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have, like, what was your favorite part of Celebration, I guess? What was something that you just, like, stands out to you where you're like, when I say Celebration Chicago, you're like, this.
Lines.
That was your favorite part?
No, that wasn't my favorite part, but that's what stands out to me when I think about it. I don't know. It's hard to pin down one thing. I really liked a lot of the stuff that I got. Going back to the last question, I kind of pretty much got everything that I wanted, which is really nice. I picked up some art that I really had my eye on.
So
there's
much
a
art.
Reprint. I mean, you saw my reprint of... we'll try and post it on Instagram or Facebook, but... It's this really amazing print, and it's Padme in her wedding dress, but there's a sort of transparent Vader helmet over her, and it's, let me look up the name of that print, but it's something really moving, and it looks amazing, and the artist was only doing, I think, 250 reprints, so each one's numbered and signed, so getting that was a big highlight of my week.
Was that the only art print you got?
Yes, that's the only official art print. I did end up collecting most of the panel posters, which was cool.
Nice. Yeah, I've been keeping an eye out for anyone like trading or selling the one you didn't get.
Mm-hmm.
Which I can't even remember off the top of my head which one it was.
It was the
Mandalorian.
Yes.
Yeah, so I didn't add that to our show notes. My goodness.
Yep.
I knew I forgot something. A lot happened this weekend. So.
Yes, it did. Okay, so the art print that I ended up getting, it's by Zoltan Simon, and it's titled Ill-Started Love / The Good in Him.
Ugh, the feels.
Yeah, and it just... Ugh, it's so good.
Ugh, gosh.
And just the artist description is so good. He says, Star Wars has so many strong motifs and archetypes, I always find inspiration in them. The idea of this image came into my mind when I was standing in the beautiful garden at Lake Como last September at the shooting location of the wedding scene from Attack of the Clones. The picture catches the dark and inevitable future in a beautiful and happy moment. Darth Vader's mask building up like a cracked glass coffin around Padme's face. From the opposite point of view we try to see through Vader's mask, we can see the love and the good in him. The good that never left him.
Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting chills just reading that and looking at this, but... I was really happy about that. Got some gifts for my friends. That was cool. But going back to it, favorite moment, I would say either the 9 panel or the podcast party we went to actually was really fun.
Yeah, that was super fun.
A highlight. That was definitely a highlight.
I'd actually have to agree with that. Those are probably my two favorites, too.
Or my tattoo. Those will be my three.
Okay. No particular order?
No particular order. They were all great.
Fair enough. That episode 9 panel, I think that was my favorite moment. Just because it was the only panel lottery we won.
Mm-hmm.
The only one, if we had to pick one, that was the one.
Yes, and we got it.
And in the arena, nonetheless.
Yes. It wasn't an overflow room. It wasn't live streamed on the main stage. We were there.
We were there in person.
Yes.
It is so electric. I've heard people talk about it, how it feels and the feeling.
And you can't even put it real into words, honestly.
I can't. You're right. I mean, the arena wasn't as big as I thought, which was super nice. Because
it added
seats.
To that personal, and I mean, we weren't even that close, but just the way it was set up, everyone was relatively close.
Yeah, the screen was nice and big. The stage was a good, really good size compared to the size of the arena itself.
Well, and they had two side screens that were televising everything happening on the main stage. So even if you weren't close, you could look at either of them and see
exactly
what was going on.
Which I was trying not to. I kept catching myself looking at them, and I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. J.J. Abrams is right there.
Yeah.
Look that way. God, but I just, like, I can't describe it. You're right. The energy was electric. Our girlfriends were actually in the panel with us.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, people were saving seats and whatnot, so we didn't get to sit together. So Jonathan and I, they were like, why don't you two go sit together and do your thing? So we did. And they were saying afterwards how they couldn't see us, but they could just feel the energy coming off of us. It was insane, and we actually have a live reaction video of the 9 trailer, like our reactions
live. And it's extremely dark; you can't really see our faces for most of it, but we're just screaming.
You
just
can hear
freaking
us.
Out.
If you turn the brightness up on your screen or your phone, you can get a better look. But yeah, it's just so electric. I can't describe it. Like I said, it's my favorite moment. And I don't know, and maybe it's just me coming off of that high, but I don't know if you can, like, really get that feeling again with a trailer for a movie for a while, because...
I don't know, yeah.
We're ending the saga that started Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I don't know what trailer you can put out there or panel that's, like, get this hyped. Because, I mean, in due time, you will, you know.
Sure,
new
sure.
stuff, an Obi-Wan movie, or different stuff like that, but... I can't describe it.
Do you have any other moments? I mean, I know I put up a kind of a top three, but was there anything else that really stuck out to you as far as you would say it's within your favorite part of Celebration?
So the podcast party on Saturday, that was super fun.
That was great.
Just meeting a bunch of people and getting to talk to them, and we met people that were knew where we were from and weren't too far away too, and as for a third, I guess since we're just doing threes.
Yeah, we might as well.
The Clone Wars panel was super good. I know you didn't get to attend that one.
But that was part of, like I was telling you before we started the podcast, that was one of the great things, because I feel like between the two of us, we covered most of Celebration, you know?
Oh, definitely, because there was panels you did and I did, and we kind of can talk about it, and we haven't even talked about some of them completely.
No,
so.
We haven't at all. I think I barely told you anything about Resistance.
Yeah, same.
And I was in that one, you know?
And and that's a nice thing, because you can kind of split up, and there's so much to do, it'd almost be crazy if you didn't split up from your partner
sometimes. Oh, yeah.
Trying to do different things. But probably the Clone Wars, that or meeting Ashley Eckstein, that was cool, getting an autograph. So I got this. They handed out a sweet poster at the end of the Clone Wars panel.
I know.
You were able to obtain.
I was. I wasn't there. I didn't get the poster. You didn't have an extra.
No,
but,
I didn't, unfortunately. Because I got up and went to the bathroom 2 minutes too early.
You didn't take your pee drug with you. What's wrong with you, Tyler?
I know, I'm crazy. I couldn't move around in that Kylo Ren outfit. It was hard. I had to...
But yeah, they actually had handed out Episode 9 beanies when we went to the 9 panel, so I had an extra one of those. I was able to trade a great gentleman for one of the Clone Wars posters.
Super. I mean, yeah, those beanies were cool. People in the Episode 9 panel line got Happy Meals, too.
Yeah, they came earlier than us, but yeah.
So that was super cool. I mean, we didn't get a poster for Episode 9, unfortunately, but a beanie and Happy Meal for some people, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. The beanie just has, like, the Roman 9, the 9 Roman numeral on it. It's pretty
cool.
Yeah.
So what would you say was the most surprising thing being there? I mean, I know we talked a lot about preparations, about how it would be. I know we both kind of agreed that, you know, it wasn't going to be anything like we thought it was. But what was the most stunning, surprising thing being there for you?
Like at the convention itself?
Yeah, just in general.
That's a good question. What about you? Why don't you go? Is there something that sticks out to you?
Yeah, just generally speaking, the crowds. I knew it was going to be busy. I knew it was going to be a lot of people, but there's so many people everywhere doing everything you can imagine. And it wasn't a bad thing. I'm generally not a crowd person, but I was pretty comfortable there the whole week. But just how many people there were everywhere. That was the biggest thing that surprised me. Even though I had thought I had mentally prepared for it, no.
Yeah, actually, the biggest thing that surprised me, I think, was how quickly we got in every day.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. And granted, we didn't come super early. I mean, Tyler works early. And I usually work mornings, so neither of us were super jazzed about getting up at 6:30 to get there to stand in one day in the snow. And neither of our girlfriends were really feeling that either. So, I mean, we claim it was about probably just after 10 each day, and gates opened at 10. So it's not like we were late or missing too much, but...
Well, yeah, and that was the impressive thing was I figured even if we got there at 10, there would still be kind of a line to get in. You know, with how many people I assumed lined up every day. But mm-hmm. No, I mean, I think the longest line we waited to actually go through security was like 2 minutes.
Yeah, like, and And the nice thing is I was really expecting, and this kind of goes back to the whole little bit surprised by security thing, but I was kind of expecting them to have one entry point or maybe two at the most, because that's the most secure way to do it, not
right.
Having all kinds. But there were entry points everywhere.
Well, we took a free shuttle most days.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of had a separate entrance just for that, people coming in from the hotels. Which I'm actually surprised security wasn't a little tighter for that, just because there was so many less people at that entrance.
Well, and the other thing is, anyone could have gotten on that bus. It's not like they checked badges.
Exactly.
Like, literally anyone could have just stood in line and got on that bus at any of the hotels. So I agree with you. I'm surprised they weren't a little more thorough on that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's scary. I didn't think about it that way, that anyone could have got on. But yeah, you're completely right. Because I almost wonder if that was part of their mindset. Was like, well, these people are clearly all coming for Star Wars. Like, cool. Like, but I,
sure,
well,
that makes sense from like a logistical point of view for the convention, but it doesn't make sense from a security point of view.
Correct. Well, going, because when we went to the Clone Wars panel, Ashley and I, we went over to the arena. Security was like, I had to pour out my water. I had to open up my bag more. Like, it was way tighter going in there and then even coming back, which I was surprised. I'm like... middle of the day, but I mean, not that that's a bad thing,
right?
But yeah. I'm assuming Anaheim will be a little tighter. I heard it was much tighter in Anaheim a few years ago.
Yeah, that's what I had heard as well.
So I mean, and that's the thing, like Reed Pop puts his on, but it's not Reed Pop running it. It's
right.
It's they just hire everything out,
right?
So
should we talk about the big panel we got into? Should we talk about 9?
Let's do it. It was, as we said earlier, it was electric.
Beyond electric.
I'm pretty sure you could have powered a neighborhood with the amount
of... You could have probably powered all of Chicago for a couple days with the amount of energy in that room.
Probably. It was insane. And Like I said, our video is up, and go watch it. We'll put a link in the episode show notes.
And I'll actually be posting. I took a ton of pictures of some of the new outfits and cast members and aliens that they showed during that panel. So I actually have a ton of pictures to share. Maybe we'll make an album on Instagram and Facebook and put some of those out there, because there are some cool pictures in there.
Definitely. I got one image to note was Lando's outfit. It was a little harder to see in the trailer watching it, but they showed us an actual picture, and he's got his outfit in the movie is very similar, if not the same, as the outfit Donald Glover wears in Solo.
Yeah, that was kind of surprising.
So,
well, shall we back up maybe just a little bit? Give people who haven't seen any of our live streams or any of the coverage from Nine like a little bit of a walkthrough on what happened at the panel, because there was a lot there, even beyond just the trailer. So we got into the panel maybe 15 minutes before it started. It started at
11,
that's right. I was trying to remember if it was
11 a.m. local time. So yep. 12 Eastern or whatever.
Or wherever you are. Yeah. So they were doing trivia, which was kind of fun to watch. They just had a host on stage, which I guess was a reoccurring theme. They kind of did play games if you got in early to a panel, because they played...
Yeah.
A few games when we went to see the Rebels panel, and when I was at the Resistance panel as well. So they were doing trivia and handing out prizes. And then this was actually my second most surprising part. So they're starting the panel, and the host of the panel was Stephen Colbert.
The man himself, Stephen Colbert.
Which was just incredible. He's a great comedian. He's a really funny guy. He's got just so much charisma. I was not expecting someone that high caliber to actually be hosting this. I was kind of expecting Warwick Davis, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. They actually had guest hosts all weekend, I guess.
Yeah, which was great.
Because Josh Gad did the Galaxy's Edge.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so that was really cool. And then he immediately brought Kathleen Kennedy and JJ out, which was cool. They kind of had a one-on-two interview, and one of the things that really stuck out to me about Stephen Colbert running the panel was just, you can tell he's a fan because of the references that he makes and the way that he talks.
Oh gosh, yeah. He actually made one reference I never understood.
Yeah, the Nogri thing?
Yeah, I was like, I have no idea what he was talking about.
Yeah, and the Nogri are actually assassins from Legends. They're from Timothy Zahn's award-winning trilogy.
Okay, yeah, because he goes, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you should leave. I'm like, well...
Time to get up and leave.
Guess I'm done with this podcast life.
Yep. Well, I thought it was cool to have those little nods to Legends in there. But yes, they're an alien race of basically assassin bodyguards. They're really neat. I like them a lot.
Yeah, we had the whole cast come out, or most of the cast.
Most of the cast. I think the only two major cast members missing were Kerry Russell and Adam Driver.
My heart hurts.
I know.
I wanted to be, how many times did I say, Jonathan? I wanted to be in the room with Adam Driver when they showed it to the world.
Well, you shouldn't have come to Chicago then.
Should have been in New York.
That's right.
Where he's at. Because I think they had a play going on or something.
Broadway play, yeah.
Which apparently is more important.
Well,
then being in the same room with Tyler.
Yeah, apparently.
God. Selfish, right?
You better apologize in case Adam Driver listens to our podcast, bud.
Yeah, Adam Driver. You're sorry, I understand.
So that was cool. We got to talk to, they kind of interviewed each of the cast members in turn, and JJ and Kathleen were typically tight-lipped. I mean, I don't think anyone expected them not to be.
There was. I don't know the question off the top of my head. But Stephen Colbert had asked JJ a question, and I don't know how noticeable it was, like actually watching it on the stream or just like in person. But like, I mean, being there and really paying attention, I'm like, he's having trouble answering this right now.
I think there was one that I remember, and again, I don't remember the question either. But Stephen asked JJ something. And JJ looks over at Kathleen and she just goes, you're the director.
Yeah, you can answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the one, he just kept saying, and like, you could tell he was like really thinking as he was talking. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is good stuff. Oh yeah.
I actually think that they should send all future trilogy directors to the Dave Filoni Trust Tree Management Seminar, because that guy knows how to keep secrets.
We learned a lot about the Trust Tree this weekend.
Yes.
In multiple panels, and it's a tree that it is the Force Tree. Jonathan and I were talking about basically. Yeah. And we want to be a part of it. We never will be.
No. There's very few people in the Trust Tree, and that's the point of the Trust Tree.
Dave Filoni, you are in my Trust Tree, though.
Yeah.
I just want you to know that.
I trust you with my secrets.
Any day.
So it was cool. They kind of went through and interviewed each member of the cast. They talked about kind of how it was playing the character. I know we kind of got to see a little bit of Naomi Ackie's character, which was nice, because we didn't... I don't think we even had anything on her character to that point.
I don't even think we got the name. We didn't even get the name.
No. I don't think we did.
They did ask if she was a Calrissian.
And her response, as best as I can paraphrase it, was, well, you know, Lando's a very suave guy. You know, who knows how many children he has out in the galaxy with how many different women are aliens.
So she could be. She could not be.
It's possible. I've said before, I'm not a huge fan of that. I'm glad Finn wasn't related to our knowledge.
Yeah.
You know?
Finn definitely looks like he's in his own spot now, character-wise.
That was one of the things that John Boyega talked about a lot, was just finding the identity of the character and dealing with a lot of the things Finn went through, trying to find his place. Not only just in the Resistance, but like within his own life, having left the First Order. It was cool that Kelly Marie Tran was out on stage. I think she got the biggest ovation out of anyone before Durman came out.
Standing ovation.
Yep. And which was just incredible. My girlfriend was saying, you know, just with how much negative press she got last year. I mean, I think we actually talked about that in our first episode. But
yes.
It was great to see the community come together like that, and just she was crying on stage, you know. Just to see we can all come together, and this isn't necessarily have to be a toxic fandom.
Exactly.
And that was one thing that struck me. Sorry, you might be saying the same thing.
I think we are. Yep, I think you're right. Go ahead.
That was one thing that struck me about the whole celebration. I mean, this fandom has been so divided since The Last Jedi. Hell, not even since The Last Jedi. Since the prequels. I mean, since Disney.
1999.
Since Disney bought Lucasfilm, especially more recently.
I would say since 1997 in the special editions.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, I could agree with that. I mean, there's that whole meme that everyone repeats. You know, no one hates Star Wars more than Star Wars fans. And this week was just a great example of, in the real world, that's not how it is.
And it's not.
And you can have your opinions. I met a fair amount of people that said blatantly they didn't like The Last Jedi. I mean, my tattoo artist said that. But it wasn't online flaming. It wasn't, this is the worst franchise ever. Like,
and it's not one of those things where, sorry to interrupt, it's not one of those things where it's like, the tattoo artist, I mean, just for example, I'm not going to tattoo anymore at Celebration. You know, I'm not a fan anymore. It's not like that. I compare Star Wars to Marvel all the time, but there's plenty of Marvel movies that I'm just like, eh.
Yeah.
But it doesn't ruin the whole overarching story or just the Marvel in general to me.
Right.
And I think I've said it in past episodes, you're gonna, with how many movies you have and how many we have coming out for Star Wars, there's gonna be ones you just like less.
Oh, sure.
Or you just don't like. Because the more movies you come out with, you have to kind of cater to different audiences here and there with little things. Like, Solo is more of a Western movie.
So
if you really hate Westerns, you might not like Solo.
Sure.
Plain and simple. But that,
if you hate boring expeditions, you might not like the beginning of Rogue One. That's where I'm at.
Exactly. If you hate politics without passion, you're probably not going to like the first three movies. Or episodes one through three.
Or at least episodes one and two.
Exactly. It's just how it goes. But there's nothing wrong with disliking them. I mean...
Well, and I think that's a commentary on our culture. And especially like our generation and people younger than us, is it seems like nowadays, I'm going to go on an old man rant here for a second, but it seems like you know, everyone has to have an opinion and you have to fight about your opinions. But that's not how it should be. It should be, you know, Tyler, you've got a different movie list than I do. You've got things that you like. And I think I said this a couple times when we were at Celebration. I mean, there are things, you know, Daniel has vastly different interests than us. You have different interests than me. I like gaming. You don't. You like wrestling. I don't dislike it, but I don't care for it. Right. You know, Daniel likes soccer. I don't think either of us play soccer.
No.
But all of those things are what make us unique, and those opinions that we hold are what make us unique, but that doesn't mean we have to fight about them.
Exactly.
You know?
I mean, find your common ground, which in this case is Star Wars, for everyone that was at Celebration or between us three. And
exactly.
Make it work.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone focuses on the negative and the differences. Like, everyone has so much more in common than
Right. So I don't... And that's the thing, you know, you can get so mired in these online arguments and watching trolls talk about, you know, fanboy tears versus, like, you know, shilling for Lucasfilm, you know, Disney. But, like, that's not how it is in the real world. And like you said, you hit it exactly on the head. We have way more in common than we have that separates us.
Exactly. That was our, really, that rant comes off of us seeing the positivity and the community this past weekend. And because just a little side note from me, surprise, my buddy was texting me, and right after the 9 trailer, he was saying, my friend doesn't, you know, my other friend doesn't like the thing, the title doesn't make sense, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't like this. And I just said, hey, man, stop. I can't even think about that kind of stuff right now because being here, it's not like that. It's not like that at all.
Not at all, no. I don't think I heard a single person this weekend say anything bad about the movie.
No, and for one, it's too early to judge it based off of a 120-second teaser. Everything we could have saw could just still not be in the movie. Every little scene could just be fake. You know, they're still in the editing room. I mean, that's JJ's like, he's like, we're heavily editing and we're doing everything. It could all be fake.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
So, exactly. It's just, there's so much more to be positive about. And then we're getting new Star Wars.
And we're getting new Star Wars, which I think is the biggest takeaway.
So, if you see past that, then there might be a problem there. So,
well, shall we get back to 9? I know we got a little tangential there.
Well,
but
we did. That's what we're known for, right?
It
at this
is.
Point, so.
And you say that I'm the one that rambles.
I think we've pretty well established at this point this will not be one episode.
No, I think that's okay.
No, yeah, perfectly. And we'll have I plan on having just a 9 episode here shortly with all three of us.
Yes, we're going to talk about the panel.
And
we're going to talk about
trailer.
The trailer and our thoughts and our hopes and our dreams and our fears.
And
Matt
everything. Smith coming as Thrawn and all that.
Yep. So... Okay, so they kind of talk to each of the characters, and I think one of the most touching things, aside from the Kelly Marie Tran standing ovation for me, was the one of the pictures we got, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name, but New Chewbacca, Jonas, or whatever his name.
Jonas. Yeah, something like that.
Jonas S. But he had a picture of him in the Chewbacca suit with his son on set.
Oh, God, so touching.
And there were a couple pictures of his son with Daisy Ridley, and he talked about just how great everyone was with his son being on set and just being a part of it. And I thought that was really cool.
Oh, yeah, we'll post a picture up to our Instagram and Facebook maybe of that, because it is a really touching photo.
We got some interesting insights from the actors into some potential love triangles, or I guess
squares.
Pentagons.
Yeah, pentagons
is how it was described between you know, Rose and Finn and Poe and Rey, and you know how things might and might not go down.
So, yeah, one thing I wanted to note, which it was actually super cool, because this is just another one of those. It was so electric, and it was one of these moments that you just can't really replicate. It was Daisy Ridley's birthday.
Yeah.
So the whole arena sang happy birthday, and it's super cool, you know, and just those little moments, it brings this together. And oh, that 9 panel. I can't say enough about that 9 panel.
No.
And we were super, super lucky. to be able to go. But yeah, we got new images. We didn't get any. Oh, we did get footage. Let me not get ahead
we
of
did,
myself.
We did
not
get,
let me not get ahead of myself there.
So, I mean, do we have anything else to say about the interviews, really? I mean,
no, nothing really like crazy came out of the interviews. They did ask about Luke's light or Luke Rey's whoever's lightsaber.
Yeah, the Skywalker lightsaber, as I call it.
And she said, they asked if it was still in the movie or what the status of it was. She said, all I can say is it's still around. However, there is still more to be told about.
I think what I saw online was that Rey had inherited it, but there was a lot more to the story than just that.
Yes, and in the trailer, I mean, it's still Luke's lightsaber, clearly, but there do appear to be some differences.
Yes.
Some little things here and there. And someone added this on. I don't know if I heard it at the con or talking to somebody, but that blue could be a... Oh, actually, it was about something else, but this just as well applies to this. That blue could be a placeholder.
Yes, it absolutely could be.
I mean, especially for a trailer, you want to throw people off?
Mm-hmm.
Because I actually originally heard that about the Ahsoka thing, which we can talk about that later. But so yeah, it could be. But we won't really dive into the trailer on this one.
But they showed the trailer, and I'm sure if you're listening, you've watched it. And if not, you should go and watch it.
Well, if you haven't, thank you for listening to us before you watch the episode 9 trailer. I guess
you should go home and rethink your life. But we appreciate it. So we did have a live trailer reaction. Is that posted yet?
You post it to your YouTube. I haven't put it on ours yet.
No. The recording we did after it. We did do a little podcast session.
Yes, that went up as from this recording yesterday.
Okay.
So it's just a little like 13-15 minute episode about our kind of like
our hot takes.
Or right at moments after reactions. Just quick, just what we were thinking on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get over. They show the episode 9 and the 9
trailer.
Yeah,
are we going to talk about the most incredible part of that whole panel?
We are. So they show the trailer, it goes off, and like I said, you can see this. You can see me totally just freak out and not know what I'm talking about in our reaction video.
Which is probably the funniest part of that reaction video, honestly.
And I say the name Clearest Day, the wrong name.
Yep.
There's just so much going on, but
so do you want to walk our listeners through? So the last part of the just start from the last part of the trailer, the big trailer reveal.
So Luke does his like no one's ever really gone,
and they're showing the Death Star dome.
What we presume is the Death Star, not really confirmation. Like so the second Death Star we assume too.
I actually do think we got confirmation. Keep talking, and I'll pull that up.
Okay, yeah, you do that. So we get the Death Star scene, and it goes black, and you're like, oh, good God. And then you hear the Palpatine Emperor laugh. The ha, ha, ha. I can't do it, so forgive me. You get that, and everyone just loses it. And I'll talk about my reactions to that in the Episode 9 trailer episode we have coming out soon. But that happens, and then you know everything goes dark. People are just... clapping and everything. It's just so crazy. There's lightsabers in the air. It's still dark. And the stage kind of lights up again. And there's like smoke. And the back of the ground of the stage comes out red. Which I didn't think twice about. I thought the lights were just coming back up. You know, no biggie. And then all of a sudden you see a person standing there. And I'm like, oh my God, it's Mark Hamill. Oh my God. Right? Just at
and
first.
You said that clear as day.
I do. And because, you know, it was so like, he's not coming. Oh, this would have been the perfect time for him to show up. So it comes on, and I look at the screen, and it's Ian McDiarmid. And the place just loses it even more, if that was even possible. They just lose it. And
we just go nuts.
And he sits there, and this was on the live panel streaming, so people saw this, but. He puts up the microphone and he kind of drops it and starts like laughing again. I think he was just so overwhelmed too with like what was happening.
But I mean, like we talked about the energy, it would be so hard not to walk out into that and feel something, you know?
Oh my gosh! Especially after he's got no place in this, as far as we knew before this. Like he had no place in this movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, we would never have thought that in a million years. At least I wouldn't have.
I wouldn't have either.
And then
it was unexpected.
He puts up the microphone to his mouth, and he's just like,
roll it again.
And that place loses even more, which we didn't think was possible.
And then they play the trailer a second time, as commanded by the Emperor.
Yeah, it was just so electric. It was so amazing. I cannot say enough for that. It was so good. It was so good.
That's probably my new favorite meme, honestly.
And there was many people, and we thought about it, included when they got autographs the rest of the weekend, they were having them sign Roll It Again.
Yep.
And then, which I'm like, I kind of wanted to just because I'm like, I was there. I can say, I was there. Yeah. Sign this. So good. I would actually, I'd like to get a printout of that moment where he's about to say and then get it signed on that.
Yeah.
And then that would have been cool, but.
Okay, so I was wrong. There was official confirmation that the Emperor is back in 9. JJ did clear that up.
Okay.
There's no official confirmation that it's the Death Star, but anyone who wants to argue with that, I will give you my address. You can come here. We can fight about it because I'm looking at the image right now and there's no way that's not the second Death Star.
Well, maybe they had something else being built. You don't know. I mean, that's the thing with these. Did you get anything? Okay, I'm going to tell you right now. The Emperor's coming back. Would you have believed me 3 months ago?
No.
Exactly.
No.
So I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just
okay.
I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Yeah. So
I was gonna say, you want to put money on this, Tyler? I'll win.
I'm not saying it's not the Death Star. I'm just saying I didn't see a big piece, that big of a piece, fly off in that explosion.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So I'm sure it is. It would be too hard of a narrative, I think, to talk about a new something else was being built in this movie.
I don't think that's the way they'll go either. So
JJ was teasing 4 hours on something the other day.
He was what?
Teasing that it would be 4 hours.
I hope so.
I'm like, I'm okay with that.
Oh my god, I hope so.
Okay, can I have two of just Adam Driver?
Yeah.
Please?
All right. So yeah, that was final thoughts on the 9 panel beyond what we've kind of already said.
I would do it again. I would have done that every day.
That and I'm just, my final thought is I'm so thankful that that is the panel we got into out of all of them.
So thankful. I've watched
live streams of like them, people seeing it on the celebration stage.
Yeah.
Not the celebration stage, but like the live stage on the floor.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. It's still amazing, but the energy there compared to what we experienced, not even comparable.
Yeah, I guess so. I heard someone talking about how like it was actually hard to watch it on the exhibition floor because so many people were up there.
Oh yeah, I watched a good part of the Clone Wars panel, and it was hard to hear kind of because we were so far back.
Dang, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Which leads us into our next point.
Which I guess is it's a good segue into the Clone Wars panel, which I feel like you'll be talking a lot about. So. Let's preface this by saying the only reason I did not go to the Clone Wars panel is because A, it was snowing.
Snowing.
And B, I was expecting to get a tattoo much earlier than I ended up getting a tattoo, which is fine.
True.
If my tattoo artist is listening, you know, that's not a dig against you. It's just something that happened.
A lot of people there, so.
Yes, yes.
So the Clone Wars panel, yeah, that was one of the ones I kind of wanted to go to. So early in that day, I said, screw it. I'm going to try to go to this. I'm going to try to go to the actual arena and watch it. Which was actually pretty easy to get in because I went in during the Alan Tudyk panel. So we kind of just hung out. And after the Alan Tudyk panel, there's about an hour difference. But like you said, they were still DJing and doing trivia like that whole hour. Mm-hmm. So like they definitely kept the crowd into it. It was super fun.
Okay, let me ask you a question because I didn't see any of the pre-show stuff. But did you have DJ Aussie Mike there? Was he the DJ?
Yeah, I think he did the whole thing, right? He was the one wearing the suits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because he was DJing for the Resistance panel I saw.
Yeah, so yeah, he because he did 9 and stuff. He was good. Which, from my understanding, it's the same people every year.
Okay.
Or at least I know the actual host, the one that kind of walks around and jumps around. He's done it. He's done it multiple times, and people really like him.
Yeah, I thought he was really good.
So I assume the DJ is probably the same guy, or at least has done it before.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. It was the panel itself was super cool. The people that were out there for the panel were Sam Witwer, Ashley Eckstein, Dee Bradley Baker, and Dave Filoni, which I think paints a pretty good picture of what the season is going to be about. Mm-hmm. I think Ahsoka, Maul, and the clones, I think, heavily.
Yeah, and those are the big focus points that we already knew were kind of going to be things, but...
Yeah, because we're wrapping up, you know, the Sieges of Mandalore and just kind of the clone arcs and some of that, so... It's only going to be 12 episodes.
I think we're leading directly into Revenge of the Sith. Did you ever go back and check if they actually showed? Because I... Maybe my mind's tricking me, but I think I saw, like, when they were doing, like, just little scenes they were flashing in the trailer... I'm pretty sure I saw the Emperor on the Invisible Hand in the chair.
Yeah, I remember you mentioned that. I've not gone back and watched it to look for that yet, but I'll have to go back and watch a few times, because the trailer, like, I'm a Rebels guy, and you know that, and a lot of people know that, but, I mean, I love Clone Wars, too.
Yeah.
I mean, because when I watched it years ago, you know, I did the whole binge thing, and it was special. I was like, wow. Like, I didn't think I would love a cartoon this much.
Right.
But I do. And if it wasn't for Clone Wars, I wouldn't love Rebels the way I do. And watching those trailer, like the big trailer at the end for the new season, like I kind of got emotional a little bit. Like
it
was,
God, yeah. I was
getting goosebumps, and I was like, "Oh my God!" And I mentioned it to you during the day. I was like, "This season, we're gonna get Anakin and Ahsoka's last interaction before he becomes Vader."
Mm-hmm.
And I think that itself is gonna be super emotional, like just from us just knowing what we know.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and even just the fact that, you know, if I would have told you 3 years ago that, you know, we were going to get more Clone Wars, would you have believed me?
No, I don't think anyone would have believed you. And during the panel, Ashley Eckstein and Dee Bradley Baker talk about how they found out and stuff. And I'll let you guys go watch that, and because it's kind of a little long. But it was funny the way they found out, and they couldn't believe it either. And it you could tell they were excited.
So who all was on the panel? I mean, I know when they showed us a trailer, I know they showed us clips, but who all was talking?
So just like the panel was an hour, so probably 45 minutes of it was just Ashley Eckstein, Witwer, and Dee Bradley Baker and Filoni, which Dee Bradley Baker plays the clones, Witwer, Maul, and Ahsoka is Ashley.
Ahsoka is Ashley.
They're the same person as far as I know.
Yeah, they pretty much are.
Which you're going to kind of talk about that with the Resistance panel, so
yes,
that leads into
yes.
that in a few minutes. But like Matt Lanter and Catherine Tabor, James Roland Taylor, and all them came out towards the last 15 minutes. You know, Obi-Wan, Anakin, Padme, all them.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't say much. So like I said, the panel was really four people. And they showed 3-4 new clips before the trailer. Some unfinished stuff like that,
which
was,
I think
wasn't
I actually,
finished.
I think I actually ended up catching all of the clips. I did not see the trailer because I was over there arguing with people about my tattoo. But,
yeah,
but I did end up seeing all the clips, which is really neat.
And it all looks good. And it was the first time the actors were seeing the clips
right.
too.
Right. You want to talk about Ashley and that Ahsoka with the clones clip?
The one where, okay, so there's a scene which you might have seen by now where she walks into the, which I'm assuming is Anakin giving her, like, that legion for
mm-hmm.
where for Malachor or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they all have, all their helmets are painted with Ahsoka's, like, head design. It's mm-hmm. orange and has, like, the white markings and super cool scene. Oh, lights come back on, and Ashley Eckstein she's like in tears pretty much, almost. And Dave Filoni's just like, are you crying again? And she's like, yeah, like it's super emotional. And he's like, oh, is this the scene you cried at before? Oh, it is. This is the scene.
Yeah, because I think they had done, before the Clone Wars was revived, I think they had done a panel in London at one of the, either Celebration or another con. And they had talked about some of the unfinished footage that they'd done and written. So this was something she knew about, but they hadn't released it. And they didn't think they were ever going to be able to release it.
Yeah, because some of this footage, I said, is footage that was done before the show ever got canceled.
Right.
A lot of more of the clones and stuff, but...
Mm-hmm. Which I want to say, like, Clone Squad 99 or whatever it is, look amazing.
It's super cool. Yeah.
It was for me, it was really jarring being in a situation where Rex was interacting with clones and he wasn't the badass.
Right? Oh, yeah, I know.
That was kind of strange. I was not expecting that.
But... we'll have to do a Clone Wars episode.
Yes,
maybe here in the next few weeks or whatever, talk about the trailer and what we want to see.
Definitely.
But Sam Witwer went into some detail and some depth about Maul's story arc.
Can I just say I really loved watching him on that because he was you could tell how much he loved the character and loved being a part of all this.
And he's so excited.
You can just see the passion oozing from him.
Which is awesome, which is what you want to see. Absolutely. Which I think everyone should kind of feel like if you're a Star Wars character. You know? Which is awesome.
Yeah.
But he went into depth with it, and he said he was talking to Freddie Prinze Jr. on the Rebels thing, and he said, and how Freddie was telling him, I don't remember the name of the god, but it's a god in mythology where, he said, Maul's story arc is very similar to his, where this god's story arc where he's destined to always fail in life, basically, where he's pushing a rock up a hill, and right before he pushes that rock over the hill, it rolls back down. And he said, and that's Maul's story arc. And he's just always...
Sifius.
Yes.
Sifius is the name of the god.
And he could never get there. And he said...
Well, and... Go ahead, sorry.
No, and in this season, he finally gets that rock up there, and right before he pushes it over, he finally stops, and he's like, I'm going to try something different. He thinks through.
I'm just super excited about.
It was terrifying. I want to see about.
Because that's one of the things that's... I don't know. That's one of the things that you look at Maul and you say, okay, yeah, he's a badass, he's a threat. But he's very predictable. He's after just a handful of things all the time. But having this image of Maul deciding to go off and do something unexpected, that's terrifying.
Terrifying, oh my god. Like, I was like, he was telling me that, like, or he was telling us that, and I'm like, oh god, like, what is he gonna do? It was scary to think about this animated character, what he's gonna do.
Yeah.
And he said, and he finally stops and thinks, like, I'm gonna do this. And he gets so close, or he kind of let in with something, and he kind of looks over, and Dave Filoni's just like, you're on that edge, buddy. You're right there. And
careful.
You can tell in Sam Witwer's face, I don't know if they showed it on the screen, but I could see it, and he was just like, oh, crap. I'm just going to sit back now and stop talking.
Yep.
But you can tell, like you said, he's super excited for it. Which is always good. Like, if they're excited about it, you know it's going to be good because you know they put love and stuff into it.
No, definitely.
But one of my favorite parts of the panel was the reveal that Ray Park plays Darth Maul live action. Did all the mocap for the Ahsoka and Maul battle that we will see.
Which I'm super excited because they said they were going to have one big, just massive, important lightsaber duel, and it's going to be Ahsoka versus Maul, which, if any of you have read the Ahsoka book, that is the event that kicks off that book.
And it's the moments before the fight. Like, you don't get the fight in the book at all. You know, Lady Tana thing, which is
just
terrifying.
It's going to be amazing, having read that book, to see that part of the book acted out. Like, we're going to get that.
Yes. There is one disconnect with the book and the show, which maybe it's a thing, but in the book she's got green lightsabers.
Mm-hmm.
In the trailer they showed her having the blue fighting Maul.
Well, and we don't know how long she's going to have those lightsabers for either.
True, she could change them back. Because they looked like they're the same hilts, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right, because I remember looking at that
so
and saying...
I don't know if Anakin puts different crystals in them or what. I don't know. I'm assuming maybe she changes them back. So, and it could just be a disconnect if it is. Oh, big deal. Big deal. No, whatever.
Yeah,
who cares?
It's not the...
But... Yep. Those blue lightsabers
and you could even look at it from an in-universe standpoint. Maybe just with everything going on, she forgets. It's a small little detail, all things considered.
True.
You know?
True. The blue lightsabers, though, are so cool.
Yeah.
And
it's really neat.
And I was talking to Ashley about this the other day. Not Ashley Eckstein. My girlfriend's name is Ashley. But if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, Well, I think she will be the first ever character that we see have three different color lightsabers.
Yeah.
Because she has the green, now blue, and then the white in Rebels. So.
Yeah. I had a second thought there where I was like, did Ahsoka ever use the darksaber? But I don't think she did.
I don't think so. That would be cool.
Yeah.
Oh, Jonathan and I were talking about this before the podcast, but if Ahsoka is not one of the first two like cartoon characters to get a live action role,
we riot.
There's something wrong with the system.
Either Ahsoka or Thrawn. I'm okay with either of them.
In either one of them, I think it should be Ahsoka, but Thrawn makes sense too. I mean, he's been pretty prominent since the '90s, so I mean, that's okay with me.
He's been there forever.
Exactly.
You know?
Like, that's completely okay with me. Do you want to talk about the Resistance panel real quick, and then maybe we'll wrap this episode up? And
why don't we? I have a lot to say about that. Why don't we talk about the Rebels Remembered panel? I noticed that's not on the outline, but we can go over a few things in there and wrap this one up, and then you know continue.
Yeah, I'm down with that. So one last thing before we wrap this episode up is Jonathan and I. One of the panels we did attend together was actually the Rebels Remembered panel, and that was one of the top probably three or four on my list to go to.
Yeah,
as I'm a huge Rebels fan, and I know you really like Rebels, and most of the cast was there.
Yep, I think most everyone except for Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah, so he only did, I think, Thursday and Friday, and the panel was Saturday, so he was already gone. But it was cool.
Quiver wasn't there either. I mean, I would consider him a major character. But
yeah, I'm actually surprised he wasn't there. They definitely focused more on, like,
the Rebels.
And it kind of, I mean, definitely, it almost seemed kind of Sabine and Ezra's arc more than anything, maybe.
Well, and Dave Filoni even said, you know, he really considers Sabine like a secondary main character because, the show is about Ezra, but she gets more character development than anyone else.
She does. She definitely becomes that hero. And, I mean, even in the final scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's her doing the voiceover, which we can talk about that for a minute.
That was a really cool story. You want to go ahead with that?
Yeah, so they were filming. I don't want to say they're wrapping up the show, but they were wrapping up something, like one of the scenes, one of the days. And
it was the final episode. They were doing the. They were finishing up doing all the audio for the final episode.
Okay, yeah, so. And they're about to go to dinner, because they go to dinner a lot, from what I've gathered from different stories, which is cool that they're all so close.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And they're about to go to dinner, and I don't think it was Dave, but someone's like, hey, like, Dave wants you to stay, talking to Tia Sakaar.
I think he said it was Tia, a sound engineer, and Dave.
Yeah,
that was
and
it.
She's like, I'm in trouble. Like, oh, no. Like, what did I do?
Who did I tell what?
And
to,
it was to record the last voiceover for the final scene in the where they're
the
talking about.
The final narration, the epilogue.
Yeah, where they're talking about going to find Ezra and Ahsoka coming back and how the Rebels won and defeated the Empire on Endor and all that in Return of the Jedi. And she said it was so secret, like, he just pulls out a piece of paper from his pocket and, like, here's the script. Like, didn't type it up. Yep.
Handwritten.
And she's like, I don't think anyone had actually ever seen it before me. Because he had said there was actually different drafts and stuff and different ideas, but, like, that was the only one that, like, the finalized one no one had seen. And it, you know, it's so cool. They're so close, and they kind of made the joke. He's like, "Oh man, is it her I'm gonna trust with this?" Like,
yeah, he wasn't sure. He wasn't sure if he wanted to put her in the trust tree.
But I think he knew he wanted her character to be the one to be the one to do it.
Which makes sense thematically, really.
Definitely, especially with like how Ezra entrusted her in that last final scene with helping him, and you know. Everybody else. But yeah, they go back. They talk about how they went back to dinner and how Tia just had this like face, like.
Yeah, and I think she even said Taylor Gray came over and was like, "Hey, what do you know? What's going on?" She couldn't tell him anything.
So she held on to that for a long time too.
Well, and Hera's voice actress didn't even know she had a kid until the episode premiered. She didn't even know Jacen Syndulla was a thing
until the world premiere. So, whenever the red carpet. So, it's just cool to hear the insides. And they showed some of Dave's sketches for
which
ideas
really
he had and how he had them for years. And he's like, hey, I need this to look like this. Like, yeah. That was one thing he talked about.
The fixation Clone Wars on panel. Wolves. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was my favorite part of the panel was...
was it?
Yeah, it was the whole wolves thing. Just because... mainly just a little banter there, but Dave went into the whole Loth Wolves thing and how they're a pretty big part of representing the Force and how it does flow through nature and... You know, you can see it in nature, in these animals.
You can see the light side and the dark side.
Yeah, how they do represent both. And how there is a balance, which is cool that we're seeing that now, you know, in the movies. But it was funny. He went into pretty big depth with the whole wolves thing, and he joked about how it's because he doesn't have to hide anything anymore.
Yeah.
But
you know how George Lucas used to always make fun of him about the wolves?
Yeah. but my favorite part is they turned to Taylor Gray, and they're like, you know, what do you think about the wolves? Because... It was his character that really interacted with them and connected with them. And Taylor was just like, yeah, we got the whole wolf script. And I was just like, finally there's wolves. Because when he read for the part originally, he didn't know it was Star Wars and it was just called Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's just like, cool. Finally, we're getting the thing I read for, you know, like that time.
Yeah, right. I really thought it was interesting. Again, there was so much in that panel to unpack. I thought it was interesting some of the things, the way that Filoni looks at some of the big events. There are major spoilers in this whole episode, so I'm not even going to like preface it. But talking about how one of the coolest shots is Kanan getting his sight back right before he dies in that explosion, and how you have that moment where his eyes clear, and how that wasn't... I forget how it was brought up, but someone asked, like... It was something about that, and he said, well, for me, it's more Kanan being in a state between life and death. He's in that between realm where he's already one with the Force. So it doesn't really matter to him that he has his eyesight back, but that moment is for Hera.
Yes.
More than him.
Which, God, I'm just... The feels this weekend were off the charts.
And it was really interesting how he talked about... I don't necessarily agree with his point of view. I guess it's a little weird to disagree with the creator, but whatever. But I don't necessarily agree, but he did talk a lot about the world between worlds and what that meant and the perception of it. Just in that, you know, was it real? Was it in their head? Was it a perception through the Force? And he said he really didn't think that it was time travel in the purest sense that I look at it as.
Yeah, he talked about it maybe being in your mind more than anything,
mm-hmm.
which I'm completely fine with. The whole thing that really, and like I said, we'll have a whole like we can have a whole no like Rebels episode too. I'm completely fine with that.
Yeah.
But the whole Ahsoka thing just doesn't make sense to me. That's the only thing. That's the big time travel thing that doesn't make sense. Like he literally pulled her out of the moment Vader was about to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
But
so yeah, that panel was just. Phenomenal.
Yeah, it was cool seeing that. We got a cool little poster at the end.
Mm-hmm.
A little Rebels thing, and yeah, it was a good little. It was a good weekend so far.
It was. It really was.
We have more to talk about. But I think we're gonna end this episode on that note. We covered some good stuff. In the next episode, we will cover the new. Jedi Fallen Order.
I like how you wrote Fallen Jedi Game on
I know, that's why I was like, that's not the name. We'll cover Jedi Fallen Order. We'll cover the new Vader Immortal VR game. We'll talk a little bit about our podcast party we attended, and just some other stuff, maybe some merch we saw, some of the stuff we got to do while we were there. So we'll do that. That'll be our next episode. Until then, may the Force be with you guys.
Always.